Hey Ed, what are the three sweetest words a parent who works from home can hear?
Back to school, Steve. Back to school.
And why is that a relevant theme for us today?
This week, school started for my kids at least, and they have quite a long break, so it was the first week I could really get back to work. So.
The kids are great, but when they're home and you're trying to work and every little squabble or need for attention distracts you, it's not good.
Actually, a similar joke from the other side, a bumper sticker I saw in the US. What are the three best reasons to become a teacher?
What are they?
June, July, and August.
That's good. Hey Ed, let's use the fact that the kids are back to school as a segue in today's topic, how to keep learning new things for the benefit of your business. But before we do that, I want to give you some listener feedback, although I am hiding some details that the listener wouldn't want shared. So he writes, I've been listening on and off to your show for, I guess, since you took it over. Just wanted
Nice.
to chime in on episode 191 on the quietly successful SaaS underworld. That's the expression he uses. It simply felt like you were describing me. I'm here in country X, running a platform for industry Y since 2014. It's just myself and a couple of support people working part-time. Nothing fancy, but steady growth over the years and meeting those local needs in a tiny country where no big player would ever care to make a push. I'm married, I have kids, and I'm just loving the lifestyle.
Good for him or her.
I love those types of emails. I love hearing about those stories, and there's so many of them.
I didn't, yeah, I enjoyed that episode actually. And actually, that was what coming up, of course, MicroConf Europe is coming up. That's what I most enjoyed about the first MicroConf I went to was meeting people like that, people who otherwise you would never really come across them because they're not particularly active online, or maybe their product is only in their country or in their language, so you don't naturally find it. Cool stuff. Glad that episode resonated with someone.
Me too. And what's been happening in your business lately?
Yeah, so it was the first week back. We got our big project. We're working on geo search. The problem is, actually, one thing did come up. So then we're like, okay, before we dive into the big project, let's do some little cleanup code, clean up small things that should have taken a day or two. So here we are at the end of the week, and we're still doing the code cleanup, and we haven't yet started deeply on the big project. But the big news is we have a couple freelancers that we work with mainly as a way to share knowledge and force us to document things or whatever. So we can work in the equivalent of one day on nice to have projects, not on like critical projects. And what basically we made a decision with one of those freelancers, we're going to do a bit more. So move to 5 days a month and use that as an opportunity to try to push a bit faster on things. So that's cool.
Excellent. The business is ramping up.
Yeah, it's exciting. Other than that, putting the final touches on my MicroConf Europe talk in a couple weeks,
I'm sure
which
it's going to be brilliant.
let's see. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just trying to get back into the swing of things after such a long break. So, what about you?
Similar thing, actually. We've got a freelancer, my Java developer, who's been working on doing a really important upgrade of the database framework we use. It's something that a couple of years ago I knew it needed to be done, but it was not something that could be done in a day. It would be, or even a week. It needed longer, and I just kept on postponing it. And the longer I postponed it, the harder it took because we added more functionality, more interaction with the
Sure.
database.
You fall further and further behind.
Exactly. And it was something that's always been in our backlog of things to do. It's not essential. It was no customers asking for us to update our database framework. So he's finally doing that, and it's taking a while, but it's really good to be getting that done. The thing we were using was like we're on version 2, and version 3 didn't have a seamless migration path, and yet version 2 was giving us Java warnings whenever we started up our server because it's using things that are getting removed from a future version of Java. Yada yada, you know how it goes. All this
Yeah.
stuff that has to be done, and you can delay it forever but then you get stuck.
Well, Steve, actually, that is one of the points of my MicroConf Europe talk about running a stress-free SaaS is having an upgrade day or having a regular schedule to do things like on a quarter, once a quarter or whatever, so that you don't fall so far behind. But I actually know several companies where they follow the alternate approach where they say, like, never touch a working system. And that approach works really well until it doesn't. And then now they're like not one version behind, but a 6-7 version behind on things. And then it's an absolute nightmare to turn up.
Probably makes the developers quite unhappy as well.
Yeah. So anyway, my congrats on getting that done. But more importantly, you've got to now commit to staying current.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I hired the Java freelancer a few months ago, was so that we could finally regularly migrate all our dependencies and keep that clean. It's such a better thing, better way to work, in my opinion. Right. I wanted to do this, but I just wasn't making the time for it.
Yeah, that's just it. You got to make the time. You got to make the time.
So let's go on with our theme, which is back to school. How do we manage to keep learning new things for the benefit of our businesses? You got thoughts on this, Ed?
Yeah, well, this is one thing I actually do think about quite a lot, particularly as I've been doing, or my co-founder and I, we've been doing this business now for 6-7 years. Especially at the beginning, you're learning a lot of new things. We're learning about the industry or learning, you know, new technologies or whatever. But as you keep going, eventually it feels like more and more your time falls into kind of maintenance mode or keeping things going, and you don't have that same curve of learning. And so the question is, how do you keep learning? And actually, thinking back to earlier in my career, one of the few things I enjoyed a lot about working at a big company was you just got exposed to a lot of different things and learned through osmosis in that way. Because I mean, the company I was at, you know, there were many different projects going on simultaneously, and there were very smart people coming and going all the time. And through no real effort, you at least got glimpses of other things and learned it. Whereas now, and frankly, particularly over the last kind of years working from home or whatever, it's easy to get so trapped in your little shell. I thought we could brainstorm different ways. You share the techniques that we use to try to learn new things and stay on top of it. And hopefully some listeners out there will contribute some ideas as well, because otherwise it can get really easy to just stagnate to a degree. So what do you think?
Are you talking about tech skills
or soft skills? Not just tech skills, but everything. Tech is one side. Frankly, I find learning about tech is probably easier, in that that's one thing that people, new technologies, people are always blogging and stuff about it. But other things, like I don't have a huge number of colleagues that I work with that I get new ideas from or whatever. Frankly, it's one of the reasons I enjoy doing this podcast, is it forces me to reflect a bit and forces me, sometimes on rare occasions, I learn things from you, Steve. And that's not true. Obviously, I learned quite a lot, but also it forces that reflection. And I do think from the guests and listening to podcasts, you can learn quite a lot. And that's something you'd perhaps missing in a small business. It's one of the things, a few things I really miss about a big company.
One of the ways I realize how little I know about a topic is when I try to put into words what I think or do know about it. And then as the words come out, I realize this makes no sense. I obviously don't know very much at all.
Yeah. True.
Same when I've tried to write blog posts in the past, and I think, well, I have a really good understanding of this, or I know what I think, and then I start writing it and there's nothing there, and I realize I've got to go back. So my last kind of job, it was a consulting gig I did for a long time at the same place. We would go for lunch every day. And this is also something about not doing remote working, but working on site, is going for lunch with my colleagues each day who were all working on different projects.
Right.
And just hearing them talk about what they're doing and the challenges and so on, that was also really interesting and something I miss by working on my own little project day after day without
having And then people ask questions. People are like, hey, what do you think about this? Or here's this problem I'm having. And then you just come into continual contact with other people, other issues than whatever you've got in front of your own face. So what do I do about this? My own techniques are, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Obviously, we're fortunate there are lots of bootstrapping kind of podcasts, but I also listen to a lot of other ones, a wide diversity of different ones. Pretty much any industry you want to learn about, there are, you know, podcasts from that industry. And I try to dabble quite a lot there, and I give different podcasts a try. And then, you know, if I like them, I keep going. If I don't, I stop. The other thing I do quite a lot is I buy books, I read books, an actual like hard copy paper books. I can't really read on screens for longer periods. Yeah, I just don't enjoy it. But basically at night before I go to sleep, I almost always read for an hour or so as a way to unwind. And I find by doing that, you can learn a lot of course. Actually, one very positive trend is everyone now producing these, the cost of creating a book has gone down. And I feel like more and more people are writing about different things. Listeners may recall, I think at the beginning of the summer, I did an interview with Adam Duvandler here on the podcast about his developer marketing book and things like that. So basically on Twitter, whenever I see any kind of book that if someone recommends a book or if I hear on a podcast someone recommends a book, I just buy it. They're usually pretty cheap. And then I'll try to read that. And then, so that's one thing I do. I use Twitter heavily. Yeah, that's obviously a double-edged sword because it's easy to get distracted. And you have to be active in terms of following different people, unfollowing people, and things like that. But I do find it is a very good way to quickly expose yourself to different ideas. One thing I was in preparing for this episode, one thing I was thinking about is I can remember 20 years ago or almost 25 years ago now, when I kind of started working on the internet, the people would say in Europe is 3 years behind Silicon Valley or whatever, 5 years behind Silicon Valley. And it felt like there was some kind of truth to that. But I feel like now, I don't know, I'm not in Silicon Valley. When someone in Silicon Valley puts out their podcast, I hear it the same time everyone else in Silicon Valley does. Or I see their tweet the exact same moment everyone else does. The ease with which you can have your finger on the pulse has increased. It's much simpler and faster to stay abreast of what's going on, and best practices get distributed much faster. I guess the flip side of that is that flow of information really is a fire hose, and you gotta manage how much you want to expose yourself to it. And also, obviously, just because someone tweets something, this is going to shock you, Steve, but just because someone tweets something, that doesn't mean it's actually true or valid.
No way. You mean this untrue facts on the internet?
I don't have any way to sugarcoat this, Steve. Yes. Yes. You've got to be careful. You've got to be very careful whose advice you follow, frankly.
Yeah. And often people think they're tweeting something that's true. I'm not talking about the misinformation and conspiracies, but somebody who has a business similar to ours and they make a tweet about something they think is true, but they're actually quite new at this and they don't know the history of what they're saying. They haven't really thought it through. So,
or even if it was completely true for their situation, your situation may be different, right? Your industry is different, or the timing is different, or whatever it is. You always have to apply your own common sense to what you're learning. But what about you, man? How do you try to learn, or what can I do better here to stay abreast of things?
So I can think of one concrete example. Earlier this year, in fact, you and I had an episode in which we talked about our goals for 2021. And one of mine was to get better at marketing. And once I said that, I thought, I've committed to the goal. How do I go about this? So what I did is I found a podcast called Everything is Marketing. I had the host on the show a few months ago.
Yeah,
it's Corey, and I've added that to my regular podcasting roster. I listen to every episode, and even though some of the episodes are not relevant to me, I'm trying to immerse myself in a different way of thinking, or immerse myself in the way marketing community thinks. Okay. I joined an online community. I subscribe to a few newsletters in this place, which are updated, send out an update once a week or once a month. And again, it's not always relevant, but I'm just trying to get an understanding of or being part of that community so that I start to internalize the thinking. I have to say it's not going all that well for me because I have this natural cynicism towards marketing that I think is shared by a lot of developers, and I find it very hard to turn that off. As I'm reading something, I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's not true. What a load of rubbish. And I have to tell myself, no, that's not helpful at all. I have to be very open to how people think, because the companies that have good marketing people actually do well. There's actually something there.
Yeah, sure. So if you make any effort to systematically set aside time, I don't know, 1 hour or one morning every week or whatever, where you say, okay, I'm going to learn about marketing in this time, or...
I haven't been doing that, but another concrete example is a few years ago when I realized SEO was the key for my business. This is the desktop app that I sold. And I just started to dawn on me through things I learned at conferences that our SEO could be a lot better. So every Monday morning became my marketing Monday. And specifically that meant learn more about SEO and apply what I've learned. And there was the same recipe, subscribe to podcasts, get onto newsletters. And back then, I could even still use my feed reader to follow some blogs, although that's more or less dead these days. And the the act of actually applying what I'm learning was the thing that seemed to cement it in my head. And it was remarkable to watch how quickly organic traffic increased for the product I had. Now, it was a product in which it was quite easy to write good content, and I had a mailing list already of people who had tried our product that was about 10,000 people. So I could write to them every week with our new content. And again, that's the stuff I learned from immersing myself in this world and taking the time regularly every Monday morning to do something about it.
That's also a best case scenario where you immediately see the rewards of the effort you're putting in. It's reinforcing. Right. And then if you start to feel the momentum, then obviously it's easy to keep the motivation to keep going.
Exactly. So when I was starting Feature Upvote, I learned the lesson from that and knew that I had to concentrate on organic traffic from day one. And that has worked really well. That's how we get most of our business. And it's also why I'm trying to use SEO as my main approach with Sabre Feedback, although I'm doing that far less hands-on, and for better or worse, that's been the approach. So there is a problem, though, with on the topic of SEO. What I learned when I did my deep learning on this was 4 or 5 years ago, and things change.
Sure. Yeah, that's the nightmare.
Back when I was in my 20s and doing some consulting, this much older consultant befriended me. He would go into a client and he would do the high-level analysis work and then design database schemas and put in a strategy. And then when it was time to implement it, he would recommend me to them. It was really nice. And I learned a lot from this guy. So I would go and do the actual coding. And he told me once about his theory about the half-life of IT knowledge. I think he said that in his opinion, whatever you're learning now, in 18 months, half of it is useless. The IT knowledge has a half-life of 18 months.
Yeah, that's probably true. I can, whether it's 18 months or 24 months or whatever, I get what you're saying.
That the exact amount is debatable, but I remember that, and I've always tried to remember to apply that. And I think that's where I am with SEO, that a lot of my knowledge now is just out of date, completely out of date, and I haven't been actively maintaining it. And there's so much to actively maintain. I have to keep learning how to do all the different parts of my business and relearn. And at some point, things just slip away.
This is the whole argument about perhaps not trying to do things yourself. Maybe just hire the expert, hire the consultant who is the expert who stays on top of it. But then the problem is you're not necessarily learning, right? You're not. And at least for me, the reason I enjoy my business is it's the diversity of things I get to work on. And I feel like I'm constantly exposing myself to new things and learning new things. But as I said, after, you know, that sensation was very present in year one, year two, year three. And then as you keep going, each year diminishes, right? So you really got to think about how do I keep this interesting and fresh? And are there new approaches? This was a big problem actually at my old company in London. I got really bored with it because also we launched originally in the UK and then we did a few more countries. And basically after the fourth or fifth year, I never really had a new conversation with a customer because our customers were these big old media companies. And we would go to a new country and of course some minor things were different in their country, but basically it was all the same. And every customer would have the same 10 questions and we knew the 10 answers to those questions and how to present ourselves. And it became formulaic, which was great for the business because then it was a repeatable formula and you go country to country and execute it. But for me and my own personal development, I've seen this movie before. Yeah. I don't need to watch it again. So I don't know. I'm trying to think a lot about how do I make sure that doesn't happen with the current business. Partially that's we're now launching new products. Partially, of course, it's just you've got to take breaks like in the summer and do things. And I think we're still all a bit burned out by the whole lockdown and COVID and things like that. And I, for one, I'm really looking forward to going to conferences again and learn from people at conference. One thing I really like about a good conference is if it's well structured, I don't need to. I just show up and interesting people tell me things. And that's fantastic. I guess one other thing I wanted to talk about, in thinking about this, I was chatting with someone else and they said, oh, I watch a lot of videos on, and it's similar to, obviously, as I said, at conferences, people say interesting things and there have been millions of conferences and a lot of them have been recorded. So I could just set aside the time to watch those. But for whatever reason, I really struggle with that. I really struggle with watching video. And I just don't have the patience for it. I can read so much faster than you know, watching a video. And it, more and more of these sites now that kind of are putting things on video, or now these services where you send someone a message via video, kind of asynchronous video. Like I record a video and say, hey, Steve, do you want to go to lunch? And then you send back a video that says, yes, Ed, I'm hungry, whatever. And I hate it. I just hate it. It just doesn't, send me a WhatsApp or whatever. Like not, and I don't know if that's my attention span is deteriorating or I'm just getting old and I don't want to do what the kids are doing, but I can't really watch videos anymore.
I would say it's none of those things. I would say that everybody has their different way of acquiring information. And a lot of people like the videos and a lot of people don't. A lot of people love podcasts, and hard to believe, but there's some people who choose not to listen to us or any other podcast.
Yeah.
So this is just something, the way the world works, each person's different. And it's also something to be aware of with your own content you generate. If you don't generate videos, there's some people who just you won't reach.
Absolutely. Like when I land on a website and all there is a video to watch, like instantly turned off. Probably I'm going to go away unless it's something I critically need. So.
But on the other hand, there are people who wish you had videos, for example, for your own site, Ed, with your content. I'm sure there's some people who would love to see videos. I'm like you, where I was with the videos. I actually couldn't see the point of people who would just watch YouTube videos to learn when I could learn, I believed, faster by reading. But then I noticed that my girlfriend's behavior when she wants to learn something is to find an interesting YouTube channel and watch them all. Just watch them all.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes in one sitting. And it works for her.
I can definitely see that there are topics where it makes sense, where like some sort of manual, like home repair or something, where you've got to demonstrate how it works. But I don't know, man. I struggle with it.
Yeah. When I was in the stages of working out what I was going to build, it eventually became Feature Upvote, I found the wonderful trove of videos from conferences like MicroConf and Business of Software. Often they had their back catalog on the internet for free or for a very cheap membership fee. And I would work in the morning on my old product, and then in the afternoon I would watch one video. I'd stop for lunch and whatever, and then I'd watch one video from their back catalog, just trying to suck in the knowledge of how to run a SaaS, how to pick a topic, how to get started, how to do the pricing, how to find customers. And I did that for maybe 2 or 3 months. And then once I had watched the video, I would go out for a walk in my neighborhood, as my neighborhood's very walkable. And that actually was my first exposure to learning from video. And it was only after doing that for a while that I began to understand exactly what I wanted in a business. It was really interesting to hear people who describe businesses that were nothing like what I wanted. And sometimes even that was a learning experience.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know. I struggle to be that disciplined and systematic. And if I'm sitting somewhere in front of a computer, I can't avoid the instinct to want to do something, not just sit there and consume, right?
Okay, so I missed out an important detail. What I would actually do after lunch is boot up the PC I had. So I work on a Mac, but I also had a PC in my office, which was my gaming machine. I'd boot up that. I'd play some game that I knew back to front, inside out, so I could play it half mindlessly. Yeah. While I was playing that, I'd have the video from MicroConf or Business of Software or whatever else on the other screen. But for that very reason, I find it very hard just to sit and watch and not do something else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I also can't do that. I can't, when I'm working, I can't listen to podcasts or have audio going in the background. Maybe like some light music or something, but not something where I'm trying to like understand and follow along. I can't do it.
I'd often pause the game and then go back a few minutes because I realized I just hadn't taken in something that I wanted to take in.
Wait, is profit supposed to go up or down? What did he say?
Yeah, and when you get the two confused, then you start making notes about running a SaaS where you've got to kill the big boss and take the treasure or whatever.
Anyway, it's something, if any listeners out there have suggestions as to how they try to make sure they stay abreast of new things. And I don't mean just business skills or technical skills or in general. You've talked about your efforts to try to improve your Spanish and things like that. I don't know. I feel like post lockdown and now getting back to some semblance of normality or whatever, I want to try to develop some better skills and get more disciplined. And that was the other big change I've done this week. I've been going to the gym a lot. I rejoined the gym. Well done. Gone to the gym every day. So I'm trying to get back to peak fitness and in mind and body, Steve.
And this is something you can do because you're vaccinated and restrictions are easing and so on.
Yeah. So that's great. So,
yeah. So that touches on another point that I, not the gym, but about learning things that aren't business that I wanted to bring up. Sometimes it's okay to do learning that's not for your business, but it's learning just for the sake of learning.
Sure.
To some degree, running your business is a grind and will continue to be a grind. And you have to look for intellectual stimulation outside of the business, I believe.
I completely agree. I also, in terms of my reading, I usually alternate between, let's say, nonfiction things, which have maybe some relevance to the business or whatever, but then a lot of just weird fiction stuff that's just kind of pure escapism.
Yeah. It's thing is, though, it can be very hard to switch off from the business, and you're thinking, can't it? You're reading something and then some problem in the business keeps coming up in your head.
Sure. You know what I always thought would be a good business? Actually, sometimes my wife and I talk about this. I don't know how you would execute it, but I would love to imagine if you had a way where you could drop out of your business and go into someone else's business for a month. And not even businesses similar to yours, but go be a baker for a month, or okay, be like a carpenter, or be, I don't know, whatever, be a farmer for a month or whatever. And I feel like if I could do that once a year, it would be so refreshing and energizing. Mm-hmm. A, to get the break from my business, but also then to just expose yourself to completely different industries and things. So
you'd probably realize how much better it is to work in IT. You've ever been backbreaking work on a farm or barely making ends meet in a bakery, and one little piece of equipment breaking down puts you on the verge of bankruptcy. And then you realize that us with our SaaSes, where we often feel stressed, but ultimately, every year profits to go up. And
yeah, clearly we're very lucky. I actually, one summer when I was in university, I worked construction. That's miserable, man. That's really hard work. And I think about it a lot. And then also, this was in Germany, and the weather can be quite bad in the winter. And if it's outdoor construction, they work much less in the winter. So to compensate for that, they work a lot longer in the summer. So like, I had to be at the job site ready to work at 6:30 in the morning. And it would go till, I think, like 6:30 at night or something. It was long days. And I would just completely, I was some college kid, and so I would completely collapse the minute I got home. That was a rough summer. And I don't know, maybe if you do it longer, you get used to it or whatever. But what I did enjoy about that is that exactly that, you dip into an industry for a bit and got to see it.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting thought. Should we wrap it up, Ed?
I guess so. Anyway, if anyone has some suggestions on things that work for them, I guess send us the feedback. So
thanks, Ed, as always, for the scintillating conversation. We will be back soon with another episode from the life of bootstrappers. Until then, thanks for listening.
See you, man.
Bye, Ed. Bye, everyone.